I knew from the very first day I got involved, it was going to be the biggest thing in fighting sports. The bottom line is that the younger demographic is dying off in boxing.
Yes.
The Logan and Jake Paul fights are bringing them back in, but are they consistently going to watch other boxers, or are they just going to wait for their influencers? Here's the simple thing. Success breeds competition, and competition breeds success. You want other people to be successful, but the UFC is the rocket ship. The flames are coming, and everybody's following their path. Right? And I'm very lucky again to have a first class seat on that rocket ship. Don't forget where you came from and what got you there. And now it's time for the Red Cast with Ryan Alford. Hottest part of ending is
starting again. You're listening to the Rad Cast. If it's radical, we cover it. Here's your host, Ryan Alford.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to the latest edition of the Radcast. It's radical today, folks. I'm joined by the voice of the Octagon, Bruce Buffer. What's up, Bruce?
Hi, how are you? Everything good?
Everything's great, man. Appreciate you coming on.
No problem.
I know you're a busy man, and like, it, there's no better catchphrase than it's time, you know? Like,
I say it every day I wake up, man. It's time to have the best day that I can.
It is. Man, you got your hands in so much now, which I want to get into. And I love the t-shirt. Like, where did its time come from? Let's just, I want to know where that came from. Let's start there.
Well, you know, when I started in the UFC announcing, and I've been managing my brother, Michael Buffer, you know, the legendary greatest announcer of all time. Let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah.
We met late in life. And when we did, I owned two companies. I had my first company when I was 19. I've been an entrepreneur ever since. I've owned a variety of companies, a couple failures here and there, but most all successes, you know, I'm proud to say. And when I met him, knowing that he was the announcer, he was and everything else, I sold two companies and became his manager, managing his career and everything. I wanted to announce back then. We agreed I wouldn't do boxing, and I said something would come along, and boom, this is a very short version. And boom, the UFC came along, and I worked my way into the UFC, but I never wanted to be Frank Sinatra Jr. I never wanted to be, not, no respect to Frank Sinatra Jr., but I wanted to create my own style. I wanted to grow with the UFC to help market the brand, being the marketing and branding person that I am first and foremost before I do anything else. And I told him, I said, I need to grow with you as the announcer, but I didn't think I needed a catchphrase. I'm not catchphrase driven. I was more like, it's not what I say, it's how I say it. So it wasn't until about 7 years later that his time came about. Everybody always was going, let's get ready, let's do this. They all wanted to be Michael. I just didn't want to come across like that. I told myself if within 3 years I could build my own identity, my own style, I would continue. If not, I would quit because I just didn't want to be that way. So every day I wake up, and I was kidding before, but I'm serious, I look in the mirror and go, it's time. It's time to have the best day that I can possibly have. So I used to open the show saying, it's time to begin the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And then Dana White and the Fertittas bought the show. Dana and I met. He said, I don't want you doing that at the front anymore, top of the show. And I said, fine. But then I got down to the main event, and I realized, hey, everybody's sitting here for 5 hours watching the show. The main event's about to start. The fighter's been training 6 to 8 weeks for its biggest moment in their lives. This is definitely, it's time. It's time. This is when it's going to happen. And I started incorporating it in, and gradually over time it developed to the style that I do it now, whether I'm jumping or doing whatever. I never know physically what I'm going to do till I do it, because I never rehearse. Never. I feel the energy of the crowd, and I just let it fly. But when I was in Brazil and 20,000 Portuguese speaking people said, it's time with me, I knew right then it hit. And that's when I started building it up. And then eventually, over the last 15 plus years since then, you know, I've developed into products, you know, and many things happening worldwide. And now as time has taken on a very individual branding of itself. And I plan on reaching $1 billion in sales with its time, whether it's sales of other, not in my pocket, you know, sales of other companies, everything, as I achieved over $500 million in sales with Let's Get Ready to Rumble. But I love my brother, but I'm a competitor. And I'm going to come in first.
I love it. I love it. Did you see, I mean, the UFC has had this meteoric rise in the last 10 plus years. But like, did you see that coming?
I knew from the very first day I got involved, it was going to be the biggest thing in fighting sports. You know, when you're in business, you need to be able to hopefully recognize the brand, recognize the future. I always think three steps ahead in life, like chess. I'd apply that to every aspect of business and any business I've owned or been involved in. Because to me, all business is the same. It's just the product that's different. But you got to recognize what has the chance to be the big hit. I knew that was going to be with Let's Get Ready to Rumble. I got contacted by another company called Party Poker back when poker was not even as popular as today, who wanted me to be part of it. One of the things I regret, I didn't grab that opportunity back then because I realized online poker was going to explode. And I'm a big part of poker myself in my private life. Mm-hmm. But when the UFC came on, yes, it was raw. It was a spectacle. It needed refinement. But I decided to stick with it, make the short money back then that I made, lose money going on trips. Everything I could do, realizing that if I stuck with this, because consistency is a key in business, that I knew it would all pay off. And I have a simple theory, and that's whenever I do business of any kind, I have a 3-foot theory. Everybody around me be happy, healthy, and prosperous. And, you know, my goal is to help everybody around me get there because then it all comes back to me. So unselfishly, I've been just dedicating my life to the UFC for over 25 years as of February.
What's the, you know, it might be a cliche, but what's the most memorable moment for you, you know, like as an announcer, or like it could be a fight. I mean, there's been so many memorable fights now, but what is your most like memorable in-ring moment now or not or out of the ring, you know, announcing or either?
25 years. I have so many memorable moments. There's no one that outstands. I can just give you samples and examples of many, whether it's pulling off a 360 move in front of Brock Lesnar or UFC 100 after being egged on by Joe Rogan in the internet for six plus months and realizing, you know, after trying it in my room three times before I went down to the arena and slipping on the carpet twice that I might not pull it off. But when I turned out of the corner of Frank Mir to go to face Brock Lesnar, I realized if I didn't pull the 360 and not just casual, I'd jump up and spin around and do it, that I would be the, as I termed, the bitch of the internet on Monday. The forums would have torn me apart. So that was one. But, you know, there's just so many. There, you know, when Dana White and the Fertitta brothers took over the UFC and, you know, we had this amazing dinner together and we all met. And then you go back to the Tough finale, the Ultimate Fighter with Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner, you know, one of the most amazing fights and amazing moments in UFC history, where at that point we continued on going upward like a rocket ship, where I have a first class seat and it's still going that way. But that night we drew 15 share max or 12 share max on the final event. And you realize at that point that we made Spike and Spike made us. Spike TV, who we were with back then. Yeah. There's all these memorable moments. But you know what? The moments to me that are most important is when I get the relationships I have with the fighters and the fans and the respect factor between us, or to have a guy like Antonio Nogueira during one of his last fights in Brazil come back to me after his fight, just bleeding and wounded, and said, "You just must understand your introduction. It took me to another level, you know?" And it's like, life's not about the paycheck. I'll be the first one to cash that damn paycheck on a Monday at the bank. Trust me, I'm first in line. I'll be there, okay? But I'm not in it for the paycheck as much as I am in it for the paycheck. What you're talking about is what life is all about, these experiences. And I always tell people when I do my branding and marketing, you know, motivational speeches or whatever, one key thing in business is find out what you're passionate about. And if you can learn how to monetize it, you're not really working. You're living a lifestyle. And that's, and my, I call my life by design. It's just like my new company, Millions.co, where we're branding athletes and everything. This is my Millions.co t-shirt. It's Buff Life with capital B, which means be. It's real simple. Be who you are. Be the best you can be. That's all you can do. Whether you're first, second, or third, if you're the best you can be, then you're winning. And that's what I'm all about.
What's interesting, Bruce, is, you know, whether you know it or not, like I have watched you on UFC and things like that, but the emotion and like, you wear it on your sleeve. Like I got to know you more, obviously studying up for this podcast and all that, but like, and I love Michael, but like, I have always seen this emotion in the way you enter the ring and all that. And I'm like, there's something deeper here with you with this. And I think you just distilled it really well. And I think it shines in a lot of what you do. And I want to give you kudos for that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, a writer once said that Michael's like a fine bottle of Bordeaux. Right. But I'm like a fine bottle of puncher's chance. Okay. I get out there and again, it's you hit it on the head. I'm I attack it with passion. I get back to passion. It's one of my key words, whether it's my feelings for my family, a girlfriend, or life and business, okay? I approach everything with passion. That way in business, if I get knocked down, I stand up, and like Rocky said, I move forward and punch harder than ever because you believe in yourself. The moment I can't announce the way I want to announce, if I have to start phoning it in, I'm going to retire. I'm done. Okay. Every night I walk out there, it's time to be the best I can be. I was out last Saturday night. I'm going in the octagon again Saturday night. I've been doing this for over 25 years. I have to prove to myself come Saturday night that I deserve this job. And it's that kind of hunger and that kind of passion that I've kept doing what I'm doing. I'm 64 now and I won't stop. I stay in shape. I do everything I can because I train and I get ready for these shows like a fighter. The moment I can't enjoy that progression, that evolutionary process, like I said, I'm done. It's time for me to find another, get up from the table and find another poker game. Go put my chips somewhere else.
Well, it shows. But how would you define the culture of the UFC? It's raw, but like, what are the words or the descriptions that come to mind when you talk about the UFC?
You know, there is a UFC lifestyle, and fans live a UFC lifestyle, whether they're, you know, wearing the merch and all that. But it's the fan. I got to look at the fans to answer that question, because the reason we are where we are is because of the fans. Aside from all the work and the great mastery of Maverick marketing and management that Dana White and his team do, but the fans have kept us alive, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's aside from the younger demographic of the 18 to 34, we have the widest demographic, I think, of most sports, whether it's female or male. I can just say again, it's like a lifestyle for these people. They have their first show. They want to see the next one. They want to see the progression. Granted, there's a lot more shows now. It's hard to keep track of all the fighters, but they're so interested in what they have for breakfast, what they do in their private lives. Once you can lock people in like that, then you've got a successful audience that's going to be a dedicated audience. They'll be consistently watching you forever. Not just as happens in boxing now, which I love and I grew up in and have participated in. The bottom line is that the younger demographic is dying off in boxing.
Yes.
The Logan and Jake Paul fights are bringing them back in, but are they consistently going to watch other boxers, or are they just going to wait for their influencers? You know, but at least young eyeballs are coming into the sport. The UFC is just capturing and holding people.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And let's face it, in COVID, we were the first sport to come back.
Yes, you were.
And it's really blown up as a result, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I want to transition to some of the businesses and it's time and all of those things. But before we go there, like kind of close, not closing the book, but what's it like working with Dana?
It's great. You know, I mean, Dana and I knew each other before he took over the UFC. He called me when he bought it. He was managing Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz back then. And the previous owner called me up, Robert Meyer, said, I have good news and bad news. The bad news, I sold the UFC. The good news, I sold it to Dana White and the Fertitta brothers. And they want to keep you and John McCarthy. Everybody else is going. Like, great, you know? So Dana, we get along really well. We're friends. We're brothers in arms. He's a maverick. He's nonstop. You got to really appreciate a man who's worth probably $500 million or more dollars and still has the passion to do everything he needs to do to keep this going. Because he could easily back off and live in one of his many homes and do whatever he wants, you know?
Yep.
It's a rare breed. There's very few mavericks in life. I consider myself a maverick in business, but you got to look at Dana and you look at the Vince McMahons and you look at, you know, whether you agree with them or not, the Don Kings of this world. It takes people like this to keep these kind of things alive, and it's perfect, you know?
What
it works well. And Dana's very generous.
Yeah.
But you don't, and very loyal. But if you're on his bad side, you're screwed. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you don't want that switch flipping.
No. Well, that's never going to happen between us.
Not between you, but
we'd probably throw a few punches at each other and have a beer afterwards.
What's the business of MMA like now, like both for you and in general? I mean, both inside and outside of the ring, you know, like we discussed, like UFC and MMA, you know, announcing for you and being the voice of the octagon is so small to what you're doing now. It's just such a mega business, right?
Yeah, you're talking about my business?
Both that and just the business of mixed martial arts now. You know, like I think people see the fighting and they see it and they get the pay-per-view and all that, but it's a big business.
A big business, $1 billion business. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a company in UFC that sold for $4.2 billion, the highest price ever paid for a sports franchise in the United States. If that doesn't speak volumes, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
And then you got to look at it the standpoint, for me personally, the Octagon is my base. When I teach people about branding and business, you always have to have a base to work from.
Yeah.
Forget about selling something 150 miles away from your base. Sell within a mile of your base. If everybody's your customer, you're a multimillionaire. You have to assume that attitude. So the Octagon's my base. It's established over 25 years. All the other business ventures I have, I'm building out of the base. I did the same thing managing my brother's career. HBO Rocks and Ring was his base. We built the movies, the TV, the products, everything, which is what I'm doing too. Neither one of us ever crossing over against each other unless we work with each other. But the rules of business are very simple. So when you have a King Kong gorilla like the UFC as your base, unless you're doing something wrong or you don't know what your brand is all about, there's no reason but to move forward and keep branding and building yourself. And that's one of the reasons I started the company Millions.co, because I'm trying to teach athletes in all sports how to brand themselves. You know, you don't have to have 1 million, 2 million followers to be the top athlete in your sport to be able to brand yourself and monetize yourself even when you're starting out. But people don't realize that. This is one of the ways, even though I'll make whatever I make out of this and all that, that's all great. I'm really doing this as a pay it forward thing to help athletes. I see too many athletes losing opportunities to make money and expand their careers because they don't have proper management or they don't know what to do themselves. And that's why I started Millions.co. Sorry if I segued there for a second.
No, I love it. I want to build on that, but I think you nailed it. And, you know, owning an agency, working with brands, the hardest thing to do is to create attention. And you, like you said, you have this base with all this built-in attention, and all these fighters have all this built-in attention, and leveraging that appropriately into all the other channels is where the opportunity's at. And, you know, so few people, I don't know why that's hard to grasp, but that brands and businesses spend millions and millions of dollars to create attention. And the UFC gives you a platform to do that, so then you leverage off of that.
Well, leverage works in different ways, you know, and what you're saying, too, is like you ever watch, of course you have, you watch the Super Bowl, right? Now, I've had a Super Bowl commercial. I was in a Budweiser commercial, okay? Bucket list fulfilled. How many times do you watch a commercial on the Super Bowl where people have spent millions of dollars, and it's over, and you're like, what was that all about? Yep. That's called ego advertising, all right? People, I can't believe on the highest levels that this still happens. So... yeah, no, when you've got the UFC behind you, when I appear for the Las Vegas Raiders, which is the new thing I started this year, okay? It's not about the UFC, it's about me appearing for the Raiders. But in respect to the UFC, they have to realize that I just gave them a $1 million commercial because I've been told I'm one of the three faces of the UFC with Dana and Joe Rogan, let's say, right? Aside from all the amazing fighters we have who come and go as champions do. But we're constants, we're consistents. So I'll laugh and giggle with Dana and say, hey, I just gave you a $1 million commercial. Time to renegotiate.
It's true.
You got to use the powers that you have. Don't be cocky. Just be real and go for it, you know?
Have you had offers outside of the UFC?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I've had people throw buckets of money at me.
But you're loyal.
Loyal. Honestly, you don't leave the NFL to join the CFL. All respect to the CFL. Right, Bellator is down there. All respect to Scott Coker. Scott's a great guy. Yep. I've worked with Scott. I did K1 fights for him. But, you know, they're like catching fighters dropping out of the Octagon, falling into the Bellator ring. With all respect to Bellator, it does a fine job. Here's the simple thing. Success breeds competition, and competition breeds success. You want other people to be successful. But the UFC is the rocket ship. The flames are coming, and everybody's following their path. Right. And I'm very lucky again to have a first class seat on that rocket ship. Don't forget where you came from and what got you there. I've seen many people get cocky and make that mistake and leave, and they're done. Their relevancy is gone in 6 months.
Let's talk about some of the products coming out. I know you've only got a few more minutes.
You go ahead. I got 10 more minutes.
Sweet. Let's talk about It's Time, the brand, the components that are coming out. We've talked about Millions some. I'm excited about, as an energy drink guy, you know, I was watching your podcast last week and I'm like, all right, when's it coming to the US? Talk about that deal.
Well, I spent almost 2 years on this. It's the It's Time energy drink.
Yes.
Never thought I'd have my face on a can. So what this is basically, I don't drink energy drinks. I might have to sip one once in a while and I'm just exhausted at a show or something before the main event or whatever, but I'm so full of energy, it's not an issue. But one of the reasons I don't drink energy drinks is because they're crap. No offense.
Yeah.
Monster, Red Bull, big huge successes, right? But they're full of taurine. They're full of the stuff that's so bad for you. And people are swallowing this down along with 5-hour energy shots like it's candy. Like it's, I mean, when I see advertising where 5-hour energy shot, all respect to you guys, please don't get upset with me, but you're telling people to have it for breakfast? Are you kidding me? Right? If I'm going to drink an energy drink, I want it to be full of vitamins and minerals. Okay. So we made this with athletes in mind. It's purely natural. Yes, there's 200 milligrams of caffeine from a natural source of caffeine in this. We've got wolfberry extract, amino acids, vitamins, minerals. This is a nutritional drink with no crash, right? It'll perk you up, but no crash. We're actually dealing with USADA. Jeff Nowitzki put me in contact with another company that's going to go after our barrels and batches and give a stamp of approval where this can be drunk, right? So energy drinks is a huge seller. People are looking for them all over. But if I'm going to be in this business, I'm going to have the best product out there. And that's exactly what we created. So I just launched it in the UK on a private launch, a soft launch. My company's from the UK that's making it. And we're distributing out all over the world. We're going to have 4 distribution centers alone in the United States because the demand's going to be that big and it's going to be everywhere. So the response has been tremendous. You know, we've got 5 different flavors coming out. But it's also going to eventually go into a line of another 50 products. I'm going to have pre-workout and post-workout and nutritional products and everything. But slow, organic development is the way I build business. And this is going to be the first one out of the gate, followed by other products I'll load the pipeline with. And I'm very excited because the response has been tremendous and the critiques have been tremendous, positive.
It's great. I can't wait to get my hands on it. So November will be in the U.S. Where will we be able to find it?
We're going to launch it first on Amazon.
Okay.
And so then the retail stores will be coming afterwards. What I would say is follow me on Instagram at Bruce Buffer UFC. I make all my announcements there.
Sweet. I love that. You've got time for a quick one word, rad or fad. I give you a keyword and you tell me rad or fad.
Just keep going. I go take another 5 or 10, whatever. I'm looking at what I just got a note. My Kristen is.
Yeah.
Coaxing me. She goes, you're cool.
Nice. So it's times coming out. Like we're going to have pre-workouts. We're going to have all that stuff. Are you going to have, obviously you're the face of it with your trademark. Any other influencers or people that are going to be involved that we might know from UFC or otherwise, or is this a sole venture with just, you know, like behind the scenes business partners?
No, there'll be other people involved. Yeah. I just can't name who they are yet. I don't talk about anything unless the deal's signed on the dotted line. But I have access to some of the most amazing influencers from Logan Paul to you name it, my buddy and stuff like that. If there's a business deal where money changes hands and things are proper, but there's one rule I have. If they don't like the product, they don't get the money, period. Yep.
I like it. What is the Bruce Buffer personal brand? You know, you talked about social media. You've obviously embraced that with all the channels and platforms. Like, is there a strategy or something as far as how you go at it with like continuing that? You obviously have the base platform of attention and you're knowing there, but like how do you approach social media from a marketing perspective?
You know, I put it out on social media, but I don't want to be like every post that I'm shilling for something. I mix it up. You know, I give examples of my personal life and things that I do and obviously UFC, but it's a timely factor. I'm going to put things out that are pertinent and make a point, but I don't want to over. I've learned a long time ago, marketing 5 words of air, let's get ready to rumble, which could have easily become where's the beef, show me the money, you know, had its Andy Warhol 15 minutes and died out. Saturation, avoiding saturation is key, knowing how to do it so people don't get sick of hearing it. And that's why I come out with a variety of different products because it's time is such a strong, somewhat generic statement that I own, you know, in respect to where I own in trademark wise, that I don't want to abuse it. I want to build it. So it's careful marketing, careful, consistent marketing. What? If that answers your question.
It does. What do you think, as people get to know you and see that, what do you think like the most surprising aspect maybe it is? Like, you're intense in the ring. And then I'm sensing this, I don't know, this real empathy and real caring notion that's it's been both refreshing and surprising. I mean, is that something that a lot of people may not know or understand about you?
I appreciate your kind words. You know, I think because I walk out in the tuxedo and I've got the jewelry and all that stuff, you know, my show, walk in the phone booth and go out to the Octagon, you know, out of the phone booth, dressed as the Octagon announcer. But that's still me. That's me. I walk with a swagger, you know, a lot of people do. And I might be misinterpreted as being, you know, because I represent, I'm so strong in my beliefs, maybe not cocky, but just a little overconfident or whatever. But I'm really humble, you know. I treat everybody around me with respect. I treat people the way I want to be treated. I believe we're all created equal, you know, and I just like to be that way with everybody, you know. It's real simple. I don't like cocky people. I don't like arrogant people, and I don't like assholes, okay? And you put 10 men in a room, you know, you're going to get 3 of them that are going to fit that mold. So I'll deal with the other 7, you know. So it's real simple. And I don't like liars, you know. I'm very honest and everything. I could sell an air conditioner to an Eskimo, but I'm not going to lie about it.
I mean, how vested do you get? Like, it always, I don't know, separating, because there's such intensity with the fighting and you're in the ring and you're calling it and you get so intense with the fighters. But like, is it hard to separate? I mean, do you go into it with favorites and things like that? Or are you turning all that off to be you?
Well, I don't.
Like,
yeah, it's a good question. I'm an equal opportunity announcer. Okay. I don't bet the fights. I don't go in like, oh, geez, I got $5,000 on BJ Penn. I think I better give him a big, big boost here. No, it's not like that. These warriors, male and female, deserve every ounce of energy I can give them. It's my job to enhance the moment for them and enhance the moment for the fans. The show is not about me. It's about them. I know what it's like to bang. I fought a lot of my life. Okay. I was never a pro. I fought on the beach. I fought in the ring. I fought in the match, you name it. I fought in back alleys. Okay. The bottom line is I understand the mentality of a fighter. I've been around fighters longer than the UFC has been in existence, because I've been around boxing and my own past history in fighting. So I understand the fighter mentality. That intensity, that passion I'm throwing forward is because I'm introducing the fighters the way I would want to be introduced if I was fighting, because I want you to get me ready to go. These guys are like, and women are like, Kentucky Derby horses in the cage or in that gate before that gate opens. And my job is to get them frothing at the mouth and blowing snot like crazy. So when that door opens, they just go for it. It's real simple.
I love it. I love it. I still go back to that, like, you watch every fight, right? When, especially the main events, you're ringside watching every moment, and it's like
Octagon side.
The Octagon side. Sorry, get my rings, my Octagons.
They called me the ring announcer for about 6 years in the meetings. I kept telling everybody until Dana took over, guys, will you get this straight? I'm the Octagon announcer. This is not a ring.
I'm trying to teach my 5-year-old what an Octagon is right now. but your Octagon side, and you're watching this, like, I don't know. I think of like these shocking moments, and I'm thinking like, well, you know, and I've never been to you. I've been to boxing matches. I have never been blessed to, I've been a ton of Octagon in South Carolina, but we have the Wonder Boy is from right here in the upstate of South Carolina.
Good man. So, Steven's a good man.
Yeah. So he's been great to follow, but I think of the shocking moments, you know, like when Ronda Rousey lost the first time, or like not the first time, I guess it was the first time, but like, are those as shocking for you as they are for us? Or again, are you still like in the zone?
No, I'm a fan first and an announcer second. You know, I mean, there's plenty of shots of me, like when Connor knocked out Jose Aldo in 21 seconds or whatever it was, and everybody focused, and it made social media all over because my face was like, you know, like that. And suddenly it's like, you know, you always got to remember there's a camera on you somewhere. But you know what? I go in and do my job, but I have a right to enjoy those fights like anybody else, you know?
Yeah, I know. Where's it all going for you, Bruce? I mean, you know, sounds like it's time's about to rise like a meteor, but you know what? Where's the future hold for Bruce?
I have bucket list yet to be fulfilled. You know, I've got a number of TV commercials. I've got a motion picture project in the works right now that I can't talk about. Not necessarily starring in, but producing. I'm always working on something, and what I'm trying to do is mainly, it's real simple. I want to keep my business plan on the passionate mode that it is, with everything fitting perfectly. And I just want to make sure that everything I build is enough to take care of my family for the rest of their lives. and their kids. And I've got two godson and a nephew. I'm not married. I've never been married. I've almost been divorced twice. But my ex-girlfriend from 27 years ago is my partner, Kristen. Mm. And she dealt with your company, and she's absolutely amazing. We are a two-person army here, doing more business than most small to mid-sized corporations. But I'm godfather to her kids. I want to make sure nobody that I love and know has anything to worry about. And when I go, I just want to make sure everybody's taken care of, and that I leave this legacy and a number of businesses that still could be running. And just everybody thinks that, hey, I was a good guy and I did the best I could to make everybody happy, including myself. I'm real simple. I'm real simple. But I'm like a great white shark swimming. You know, I love what I do. I'll never stop. I'll be in the octagon for another 10 years until physically I can't do what I do. You know?
Yep. I love it, man. Is it too much to ask for it's time for the Radcast? Or is that like too cliche and like we don't do that?
It's not too cliche. I just paid a shitload of money for it, but you know what? I'll do it for you. All right, what is it again?
The Radcast. It's time for the Radcast, or Ryan or whatever. I don't care. Okay. I just want to go tell my friends that I talked to Bruce Brover and he did It's Time for Us.
I'll be happy to. And now it's time for the Radcast with Ryan Alford.
Oh my God. I have chills, Mike. I'm like, oh my God, is my mic falling over?
I still get them too. This is the other thing. Ryan, when my hair stops rising up when I do my thing, then maybe I shouldn't do my thing anymore.
Dude, I'm telling you. Bruce, I can't be more thankful for your graciousness with the time. Was a fan before, huge fan now. Everyone listening is going to be more, and I think we're all going to be clamoring for an energy drink come November.
Well, when you do that, try to mix it with the finest Kentucky bourbon in the market. If I can just give one prod, so proud
Please.
Of this, Ryan.
Yes.
Puncher's Chance is my bourbon I came out with the end of last year. It's all about how one punch can change your life. It's everything I'm all about, but it is the sweet nectar of the bourbon gods. We've won 6 gold medal awards.
Wow.
3 for the best tasting bourbon, 3 for the best bottle design. And as a craft distributor, we're the fastest selling, highest rated bourbon in America today. So this is awesome. You can go to wolfdistilleryspirits.com. You can buy it online, or we're in stores, not in every state now, but all across the country. And it's just one of my favorite things to do. And the last thing is at my website, brucebuffer.com, or of course I'm on Cameo. But the whole business of championship introductions, birthdays, birth of babies, business videos, whatever, has grown during COVID like there's no tomorrow. And Chris and I get a lot of pleasure out of doing the weddings and the champ intros, the thank you notes we get from people. It just brings tears to our eyes. We're making so many people happy. And I give partial proceeds to animal, military, and children charities because you got to pay things forward.
I love that. You beat me to
it.
You you are the world's best marketer, because like that's usually the last thing I say, thank you. And then I go, where can we keep up with everything? And Bruce, you're ahead of me, man. You are the world's greatest marketer.
I don't know about the greatest, but I'll put myself up there.
I know. I love
only
it.
Because of proof. It's one thing to talk about things and talk about them, but it's about, did you do it? That's the key.
All right. Well,
show me the proof.
Yeah. Well, everybody get out there, check out Puncher's Chance. With a Puncher's Chance. There it
Puncher's
is.
Champ.
Puncher's Chance. Go to brucebuffer.com. Follow everything that Bruce is up to. Hell of a guy and a legend in the octagon.
Oh, thank you so much, Ryan. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much. I'm Ryan Alford, the host of The Radcast. You know where to find us. We're at theradcast.com. Search for Bruce Buffer. Search for Puncher's Chance. All the highlights from today's episode will be there loaded live. And keep up with everything with Ryan Alford. I'm all verified on all the platforms. We'll see you next time on The Radcast.